Hello! That is the River Severn, and floating on it, a fleet of very special narrowboats. I've been invited along today to take part in a trials day, pitting diesel against electric.
These are visitor moorings near Worcester Racecourse. Eight boats of varying propulsion types assembled here bright and early one morning at the end of May. Five had got there and moored by the time I arrived. The remainder pulled alongside soon after, to much huffing and puffing from displaced swans. The event was organised by narrowboat builder Automarine, and all eight boats were their handiwork. I asked the boss what the idea of the trials was.
We genuinely want to try and generate some objective data on different types of propulsion, but the key was to get all of the boats in the same place at the same time, facing the same environmental conditions, the same solar, undercurrent, rivers, etc. And then basically monitor and log that data just to see how the different boats perform in the same conditions.
All eight boats would follow the same route up the River Severn from Worcester, going through one river lock, before turning off onto the Droitwich canals, winding their way through the countryside and then the town of Droitwich, before ending the day at a marina. Fuel or energy consumption would be monitored, and whilst no, this isn't scientific like-for-like testing, it's an indication of real-world figures. Let's have a look at the starting grid then. First up, three all-diesel narrowboats, beginning with Here We Go Again, which is your classic narrowboat, so to speak, with a Beta 43 diesel. The next differs only in a slightly bigger propeller and being 2 feet longer, but otherwise is identical. The last of the three diesel boats will be running on HVO, a processed form of what is essentially waste chip fat, but the engine remains unchanged, a Beta 43. Then we come to two parallel hybrids, the first with a hefty Beta 50 diesel coupled to a 10 kilowatt hybrid marine motor with traditional lead acid batteries. Mortiford Dragon is largely the same, both boats having a 37 kilowatt hour battery bank and 1.3 kilowatts of solar. Finally, three serial hybrids such as Hunky Dory using a Bell Marine 10 kilowatt motor, lead carbon batteries and 1.9 kilowatts of solar. Old Nick uses an all-Vita setup, the very first narrowboat to use their 10-kilowatt motor. Finally, Perseverance has a 12-kilowatt motor from Croatian company Tema and a relatively small but lithium battery bank. But hang on, let's just clear up the difference between the hybrids.
A parallel hybrid, it keeps the standard propulsion engine and gearbox and connected to the drive shaft in the traditional way. And what we do is we add an electric motor generator to the drive shaft in parallel with the engine, hence the parallel hybrid. So the engine can drive the boat or the electric motor can drive the boat. And when the engine is running and driving the shaft, the motor becomes a generator for recharging your batteries. A serial hybrid takes the engine away from the shaft, connects it to a generator, and then you have some batteries, and then you have an electric motor just pushing the boat.
We're expecting the serial hybrids to be fairly conservative on the river. They're not going to be leading the pack. They're going to be taking it quite steady, I think, with the battery power to conserve energy. They only have electric as their form of propulsion. The parallels have the choice, and the diesels will just go straight up the river at their regular pace.
Electric boating is gaining traction in the market, but can you really push a 15-ton boat without a nice beefy diesel?
Let's go back 100 years when a canal boat was powered by a horse. It actually doesn't need a lot of power to make the boat move along. The main thing about the power is actually stopping and starting, where you need a little bit more power. So the amount of power you need isn't massive. And so therefore an electric motor is quite comfortable and easy to handle that. Would you believe on a 60-foot narrowboat you need about 2 to 3 kilowatts of power? That's not much more than your kettle to make the boat go. So the amount of battery power you need also isn't that much. And that battery power can be easily supplemented by solar panels, which on a 60-foot boat, enough solar panels can virtually generate 2 to 3 kilowatts an hour on a good day. so it can almost be self-propellant by the sun.
But what about days like this one, where it's about to rain and there isn't much sun around?
A solar panel will still absorb power and develop power on an overcast day. It won't be 100%, but it might be 30%. So over the course of a day, it could quite easily produce, even if it was at 1 kilowatt an hour, it can produce 12 kilowatts. That's 4 hours cruising, which is probably not far off what a lot of people would do a day in any case. So it's not that bad.
A hearty breakfast was consumed by the boaters from this riverside cafe, which kindly opened up specially for the occasion. Then there was a brief briefing outlining the plan behind the trials.
I mean, the key thing for today is for us to collect data from a variety of boats.
Boat owners and an assembled throng of journalists listened intently, and then we were assigned boats to go on the journey with. Mine, to start with at least, was Old Nick. You'll recall this is a serial hybrid, using equipment all from the Dutch company Vitus. The big grey container there is the generator. The electric motor is under the aluminium sheeting on the left. Those are the lead carbon batteries. And these are the canine crew. After a typically confused few minutes where no one was sure who was supposed to go first, the boats began to untie from each other and head upriver. Being mostly electric, they did this very, very quietly. Notwithstanding the Electric Boat Association's reassurances, the weather was not promising for sun-based power.
We've just set off, a little later than planned, but the one thing you immediately notice is we've got 8 boats moving and there's barely a sound to be heard. That's electric propulsion for you.
As mentioned earlier, narrowboat Oyster Moon was running on HVO, not diesel. I'd not heard of this stuff for narrowboats before, but there was a chap on hand to explain.
It's a renewable fuel. It's sourced or derived from used cooking oil. And it's treated with hydrogen. And the end result is a synthetic, renewable, pure, clean diesel. It's greener, better for the environment. And also the tailpipe emissions, the NOx, the SOx, the PM2s is greatly reduced as well.
The fleet firstly tried to assemble for a group photo going under a pedestrian bridge, much to the consternation of the local rowing club, although they had been advised we were going to be there. It all got sorted out in the end and no one came to harm, resulting in this splendid drone shot taken by Automarine. Aboard narrowboat Old Nick, an electronic throttle similar to the mechanical Morse controls on conventional narrowboats kept us ticking along. The boat's owner explained how he hopes the combination of solar panels and diesel generator will work together.
We hope there'll be, you know, 2 or 3 months of the year where we hardly run the generator at all. And even in the sort of less sunny months, we hope that we'll cut our diesel running time down to sort of 30 or 40% of a traditional diesel-powered narrowboat.
And the other joy of electric boating is, of course, that exquisite peace and quiet.
We're going up river now, so we're using the electric engine quite hard. So there is a little bit of prop noise, but on the canals, it's completely silent, and we take fishermen by surprise. We creep up on swans and ducklings, and so it really makes it very pleasant. There's no fumes, no noise, so we're really, really enjoying life with electric propulsion.
And it's not just humans or the wildlife who like it. Pets can enjoy tranquil cruising too. You suddenly remember how loud combustion engines are when one comes past.
Mm-hmm. visit.
The first lock of the trip appeared ahead. Wide and lengthy, these would easily swallow two narrowboats at a time, hence the one on the lock landing was waiting for us to join them in the ascent. The lock takes us past this raging weir. While waiting for the lock to empty, I jumped ship and switched to another of these serial hybrid boats named Perseverance. This was its very first voyage since being launched the day before, so this was quite the privilege for me. Old Nick joined us in the lock.
Remember, could you run forward and take a line from deck?
He said not to worry about tying up because we'll gradually drift.
And the lock keeper raised both boats from the comfort of the control shed. It was so odd having a narrowboat pull away from you with so little sound from the stern. I chatted to my new captain about his brand new boat and what drive system he'd chosen to install.
She's a Beta Marine generator located in the bow, driving 240 volts through a Victron converter to lithium batteries from MG batteries. They're very small and hidden away behind the waste bin in the kitchen. Under the stern deck is a Tema motor. It's a 12 kilowatt air-cooled motor driving a four-bladed Michigan Marine prop. So the logic is it's a smaller battery than you see on other serial hybrid boats, but you're going to recharge it anyway, so it recharges without making any sound, and therefore you get continuous quiet cruising.
And it really was quiet. I thought the previous boat had silent boating down to a T, but this was another level.
I had a clear idea in my mind about how I wanted this boat to be, and I wasn't convinced by the existing designs around the place. Also, one of the key things is the advance in lithium technology. During the year that the COVID year that this boat took to be built, we changed the lithium batteries three times. So this is the battery in this boat. Doesn't have a low temperature problem. It has 40% more capacity than the ones we started with. So battery technology is changing very, very quickly.
At this point, we locked off the river and onto the Droitwich Barge Canal. The joy of being a passenger is that you don't have to do any of the hard work operating the locks. With so much overspill, we barely needed to open the paddles anyway, but open, of course, we did, and the water rushed in to raise the boats. A second lock was just around the corner. Now we were on a canal, and the motor wouldn't be working so hard, so it was a chance to hear how quiet canal cruising can be, especially for passengers sitting in the bow. I must just point out, the noise you're hearing is the prop wash from the other electric boat ahead of us.
You know, it really is coming to something where you're getting annoyed at the sound of the electric boat ahead of you for being too loud. This is the quietest boating I've ever experienced. It's phenomenal.
Even at the back, above the motor, the sound is negligible. But what happens when the batteries need recharging from that Beta Marine generator under the well deck? Lift the wooden flooring and that silenced box can churn out 10 kVA, but there's still barely a burble to be heard when it's running. I think it's safe to say the birds and the bees and the badgers and all the other wildlife will appreciate the peace and, when the generator's not running, lack of diesel fumes. Now we came to six more locks in quick succession. Drawing alongside another boat calls for precision steering, and yet, despite this being its first ever voyage, Dave, let me have a go. You've never seen a man concentrate so hard on not scratching the paintwork. Gently we ticked along towards Droitwich, just a couple of other boats coming the other way. This is Automarine's wonderfully named Automate monitoring panel, showing power coming in and power being used.
They've got hydrogen cells in there.
Yeah, he's pushing this whole Teesside University.
Oh, right, okay. It should be the CRT, isn't it?
It is literally a parabatic
tunnel. At Droitwich, there's a memorial to the Pilgrim Fathers' ship Mayflower, built from scaffolding poles. Through the lovely Vines Park, and more lovely locks beckon. One of the great things about electric motors is that they are inherently off and not using any power when you put them into what would be neutral on a diesel. So in locks, you're neither wasting power nor spitting out fumes into an enclosed space while the boat is stationary. This bit is notorious. When the canal was restored in the early 2000s, it had to go under the M5 motorway, which clearly couldn't be raised to take account of the boats. That would have been impractical and cost millions. There's barely enough headroom in the culvert, and it varies because of a stream which feeds the canal here. Hence the warning signs and level gauges before you try this. Clear at the front, and enough space at the back too. But do mind your head. It's another place where the lack of diesel fumes is immediately appreciated. Next, we reached another trials point where acceleration and braking would be tested. Not that narrowboats need to accelerate fast, but this is a trial after all.
The boats each came out of a lock to a standstill and then floored it while being timed. And having reached a fast walking pace, they were told to stop as fast as possible when they drew alongside this tape measure. The last two of the fleet could be seen in the distance as we went up a staircase lock near to our final destination, a local marina. For some, the excitement was all too much. At the marina, more tests. Noise this time, using a very clever system that automatically removed extraneous sounds, leaving only the engine and propeller recorded. I asked the experts present what they thought of the day.
The biggest value would be hopefully to promote the fact that electric drive in these different forms is a very viable option. And I think that's probably, I don't think we've broken any scientific barriers, but we may have shown to other people that it's all possible.
It's really not rocket science, and I think we will all see an amazing transformation over the next few years of people saying, yeah, this works, why not?
It's now several weeks later and Automarine have compiled a 30-plus page report filled with graphs and statistics all compiled from the raw data. Now, clearly there's too much to go through every single page, but the salient points are as follows.
River conditions were amber, but all boats, including those with purely electric motors, were capable of travelling upstream without issue, albeit that the flow was only between 1 and 2 miles an hour. The fuel used, whether diesel, HVO or electric, was as shown in this table. There are a few things to note. Firstly, it can be seen that turning off the diesel engine in the locks gave a negligible saving. Secondly, the serial hybrids consumed an average of 9.7 kilowatt hours for the trip. Under mostly overcast and rainy conditions, the solar arrays provided at best one-third of the energy required for the trip. So, in practical terms, you'd need to recharge without moving for at least 2 full days after making this journey, if relying on solar to top the battery back up to full, and depending on the weather, of course. Given diesel's fuel energy of 9.7 kilowatt hours per litre and 9.02 for HVO, it can be seen by comparison with electric motors that the diesel and HVO boats operated at less than 10% efficiency.
In terms of the acceleration and stopping test, it seems performance was mostly affected by the helmsperson rather than the drive system. And at the time of recording this, the noise level test results were not in, but frankly, you could hear how quiet the electric motors were during the video. So, that's it for this one. Thanks very much for watching. Cheerio.